you'd like to preach the sermon. good morning. And it's a joy to be with you this morning and to bring God's word to you this morning. Someone asked me when they heard that I was going to be preaching today if I was going to do a rap like the last time when we did Tell Your Story, and I told you about Alexander Hamilton and how he came to be on the $10 bill and so on. But no, I'm not going to do a rap for you today, so sorry. But I am going to bring you God's word, and I'm going to talk about the subjects of anger and anxiety. And we're going to be looking at Ephesians 4, 26 through 32. So I'm going to read that to you off the screen, and then I'll have a prayer, and then we'll go into the sermon. So if you would listen. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son and his death on the cross for our sins, and that through his shed blood that we're saved. As Pastor indicated earlier, it's not by baptism, it's not by celebrating the Lord's Supper, even though those are ordinances that we observe. It's by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. There are some things that only God can do. Only God can do. And that is to save us. There's one thing that only you can do, and that is to accept that precious gift. God gives us freedom of will to do that. And so today we ask a blessing upon his word as we read it and as we talk about what he has said in the areas of anger and anxiety and courage. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Anger and anxiety can take all types of forms. And it can affect all types of people. It can affect parents and children and friends and marriages and others, especially in the workplace. When we think about the workplace, we think about bosses that give us too much to do and not enough time to do it. And we can get angry, and we can have anxiety over, I can't get it done. But there's only 24 hours in a day, and there's only so much you can do. And your family does come first, and so at sometimes you just need to say, I have to stop at this point, and that this is all I can do. Let's look at Ephesians 26 and 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Be angry and do not sin. You know, sometimes a husband and wife, or boyfriend, girlfriend, significant other, may get angry with one another. They may not speak for the rest of that day or evening. But the Bible tells us not to let the sun go down on our wrath. But some of us like to hold it in and sort of make them beg. That, you know, I'm not going to speak to her because she said. I'm not going to speak to him because he said. Well, can you believe what my boss expects me to do? Well, you know what type of person he is, and you know where I'd like to tell him to go. But don't let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil, because you give opportunity for the devil to come in. When you're angry, that's when the devil comes in and says, Georgia, you're right. Clarence is always picking on you. He's always telling people you and him went to high school together, and he knows that you were the teacher and he was... You was a student? No, Georgia was a student. I wanted to be a student, but I was a teacher and Georgia was a student. So when I tell that to people, sometimes people will look at us and they'll say, like, they won't say it, but they'll think like, well, he looks old and she looks young, so how could they have gone to high school together? But that happens sometimes. That happens sometimes. But don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't give it a foothold. It takes courage to deal with anger and anxiety. I'd like to share a story with you about a man that Scott Palmer and I had the pleasure of going to listen to at the United Center. They had some speakers in, and they were telling people how to run businesses and how to do things in a better way. Most people know him as General Colin Powell. He was the man that was the Joint Chief of Staff before he became Secretary of State. But what you don't know is that he was in a helicopter in Vietnam. And in a small clearing, the pilot tried to land the helicopter, and the blade of the helicopter hit a tree. And the helicopter went down, and smoke and fire was coming out of everywhere. Well, what did Colin Powell do? He didn't run away. He went back time and time again to pull his comrades out to safety. That's a story we don't hear about Colin Powell often. He doesn't tell it about himself very often. But he does tell the story about how he was upset one time when he grew up as a kid and he was delivering a package, and a white lady came to the door and he knocked and said, I have a package for you. And she said, how dare you come to the front door? Go around to the back, you. And you can fill in what she was saying and what she was thinking. So don't let the sun go down on your anger. Colin Powell could have been angry, but he didn't. He used that as a stepping stone to say, I'm going to do better. I'm going to make people like me by the things that I do. I'm not going to let them control me. Because when you let people control you, it's like a yo-yo. They say something mean to you, then they know they can pull you back up because they're going to get a response. So don't let them control your anger. Another situation that we could look at, another person, has to do with Joseph and his courage instead of angry. Mary, his betrothed, who came to him one day and said that she was with child. And he said, what? An engagement period lasted for a year. So it would be like Lizzie getting engaged and then the next day saying to her husband, oh, by the way, you know I'm with child. And he would say, what? Pastor hasn't even finished talking to us and giving us instruction about marriage. And you're telling me you're with child? Well, Joseph could have said to Mary, because the engagement period, the betrothal period, lasted for a year. So nothing went on for a year. And now she's telling him she's with child? Well, he could have been indignant and he could have put her away. Because men had the right to divorce, to say, whoops, this engagement is off. Lizzie, give me back that ring. I'm going to cash it in on a new car or something or whatever. They had that right to do that, but Joseph didn't do that because an angel came to Joseph and said, the child that Mary is with is from God. If we read in Ephesians 4:26-27, again, I just want to read it again so you know it. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. So you can get angry, you can get upset, but don't sin. Don't return evil for evil. Let the Lord take care of that business. Because when you're nice and kind to someone, it's like heaping a bowl of hot coals upon their head. So that's always what I think of when somebody's mean to me. Once my wife and I were at the airport, and my friend that's visiting us today, and I won't put her on the spot because I won't tell you her name, Sonia, sitting in the back of the room, but sometimes she drives us to the airport and she knows I like to pick on. But anyways, Gail and I were in the security line and the guy said, next. And so Gail and I both walked up and he said to me, no, sir, you go back. Excuse me? He said, no, you go back. I'm just taking this person now. I said, we're together. Oh, he said. Never seen a black and a white person together. What is this world coming to? I mean, I could have gotten angry and so on and so forth, but I didn't. Be angry and sin not. You know, my nephew Paul was in the Air Force, and now he works for Delta Airline at the ticket counter, and they have to do all the other jobs. And he said, the worst people to deal with are the New Yorkers. And like on Thursday when we had the big rainstorm and some places got 3 inches in 20 minutes. And so they canceled 200 flights. And people come up to him at the ticket counter and say, I have to get to New York. And he says, you can't get there because America's not going, Delta's not going, United is not going. By the way, Sonia's brother is a captain for United Airlines. So they're not going, even if he is a captain, he's not flying because all flights are grounded because of the weather. So the people take it out on the ticket agent, Paul. And so he always knows that if there's bad weather and flights get canceled and people need to get to New York, they're not going to be kind to him. He can return evil for evil, but he doesn't. I mean, most of the time. There have been a time or two when somebody's been very indignant that they wanted a seat and they thought they should be in business class or first class. And he said the only seat left is that last row by the bathrooms. So be nice to ticket agents. There are four types of anger that we can talk about. There's rage. There's resentment. There's retaliation. And then there's righteous indignation. Righteous indignation, and that's really reserved for God. Righteous indignation. You know, when somebody treats us mean and we have a right to think to get them back or get even, you know. But we don't do those types of things. Let's talk about each one for just a second. Rage is explosive. It's like stepping on an IED. It's uncontrolled. It just flares up like nothing. And there, our son Gabriel, when he was over in Iraq, one of the things, he had different things, and he drove a light armored vehicle. And one day he was riding, and his job was to get off and look for IEDs so they could have the trucks drive around him. Well, with this one spot, and he was going to get off, and his partner that was also looking for IEDs was going to get off. And his partner was going to jump and get off on that spot. And he goes, no, that doesn't look like a good spot. Don't jump on that spot. Stay on. So they stayed on. And they went around a little bit to the left. And the next vehicle went around to the right, right over that spot. And boom. And two people were killed. And those people, in that pain and suffering, they had rage. They were angry. They were upset. They were injured. Some of them lost limbs. And they couldn't control all the things that were going on. So rage, that explosive, how some people are calm and whatever. Some people talk about, well, he's a drunk, but he's a friendly drunk. He's a drunk, but he's a mean drunk. He's a drunk, but he's an explosive drunk. The second type of anger is resentment. Unexpressed anger. Denial. You know, denial is just not a river in Africa. Denial is a state that a lot of us go to when we say, okay, I know some of you are saying denial. The Nile River, you know, okay, Egypt, okay. All right, if I said Moses, then never mind. Unexpressed anger. This unexpressed, you know, you look at somebody and you say, oh, that Naomi really has on a nice outfit today. It's because her husband makes all that money and she makes all that money and they buy all those clothes. Wish I could have an outfit like that, but you know, I'm not going to say anything because I don't have a purse to go with it. But that's what we mean when we talk about resentment, unexpressed anger, or I thought somebody said something about me, but they really weren't talking about me. They were talking about somebody else. And another type of anger is retaliation. Retaliation. You know, I don't get even. I get more. I don't get even. I get better. I get harder. I'm meaner. But retaliation, just trying to get even. Ephesians 4:28 says, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hand so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Anyone in need. You know, honest work with our own hands, it feels good. I know a couple of gentlemen that are going to be cutting down a tree, I think, by pastor's house. And so we pray for their safety and well-being. And we know that they're doing honest work, and they're doing it with their hands, so we're thankful for that. But there are other people that walk through airports and places and pickpocket you. They showed on What Would You Do or 2020, someone coming up to a table and having a stack of handouts, and the person had his phone on the table, and they put the stack of handouts on top of the phone and then gave one to the person, and then they picked the stack of handouts plus the person's phone and walked away. And then the person kept eating, and when he finished his meal, he was looking around like, where'd my phone go? Well, it went with that stack of papers that someone had stolen. So, work with the hands. Righteous indignation is the fourth type. Righteous indignation, anger about injustice, oppression, God's anger. Back in the olden days, some of the Roman emperors, they had a punishment for someone that committed murder. If you committed murder, Dave Podolsky, they would take the corpse of the person that you murdered and tie that corpse to your back. And so everywhere that you went, that corpse went with you. And not a lot of people wanted to be around you. And if anyone tried to loosen that corpse or take that corpse off, they would be put to instant death. That's what some of the older Roman emperors decided would be a just punishment for murder. For stealing, they would cut off your hand. So you would steal no more. So think about that type of punishment. Think about our sins if they were all put on our back and what that would mean. Well, think about the Lord Jesus Christ. All of our sins were placed on his back. All of them, for every person in this room, God sent his son so that no one might perish, but everyone might have everlasting life by confessing their sins and believing in him and accepting him as Lord, Master, and Savior in your life. You have two choices, to accept him or reject him. There's no middle ground in between. I'm in neutral. I don't accept or reject. You can't have that. You have to have one or the other. So this person walking around with the corpse on their back I want you to think about that for a minute. Think about all your sins, if they were tied to your back, and what that would mean, and what people would think of you. Oh, Clarence, I see you stole candy when you were 12 years old from the drugstore. Big sign back there that said, Clarence, thief. Oh, Josiah, I see that you had some evil thoughts about one of your friends in Scouts. And you know Scouts, the Eagle Scouts especially, are supposed to be kind and loving. But you, Josiah, had some evil thoughts. Just think of all those things, if they could do that. And I've told you several times about in my brother's church, a Baptist church, how they passed the offering plate. And then what you gave that Sunday is in next Sunday's bulletin. Ooh, my God. Somebody's in, you know. Okay. All right. Tom Pedersen, I see you gave $2,000. Okay. Bob, I see you gave 50 cents. You know, when it's published in a bulletin like that, it makes a difference. And sometimes at my brother's church, they'll pass the offering plate twice if they don't think they got enough the first time around. So you have to be really careful of that. But we see that not only in the Roman and the ancient time, but from the beginning of time. If we look at Genesis 3, 9 through 13, but the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? Now here's where the men always come in. The man said, the woman, you know, that woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate it. So it wasn't the man's fault, it was that woman, because God gave him that woman. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is that you have? It's a soccer pitcher. That's what it is. It's a soccer pitcher. And she said, no, it's not a soccer pitcher. It's the serpent. It was that serpent, the woman said. The serpent deceived me. The serpent tricked me. I thought it was a soccer pitcher, but it was a fruit from the forbidden tree. And I ate it. I ate it. But not only did she eat it, but when her discussion with Satan, she was saying, because Satan said, can't you eat all the fruit in the garden? And the woman said, oh no, we can eat all the fruit except for the fruit from that tree. And then what she did was she added to God's word. She said, but we can't even touch the fruit on that tree. But God didn't say that. He didn't say you couldn't touch it. He said, don't eat of it. But you notice how the blame got passed from person, but man, God asking man, where is he? God knows where he's at. So the man's not really hiding from God. But the man says, that woman, you know, that woman, and that's how we are sometimes. Something goes wrong. Well, dear, what'd you do to the dishwasher that it doesn't work anymore? Or how come the car is not going in reverse? You know, we try to find someone else to blame. So during Adam and Eve's time, we see that from the beginning, there was anger in Scripture, but that anger that God had was righteous indignation. Jesus also cleansed the temple. We see in John 2, 13 through 16, the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of trade. So he turned over the table, kicked everybody out. Even the pigeons, because pigeons were for the people that were the lowliest, and that was the only thing they could afford to give as an offering or a sacrifice. Kicked them all out. Righteous indignation, because what had happened was people would come from far away, a pilgrimage, to pay and give an offering. And the local people that were close by that had sheep, you know, Scott Palmer had 10,000 sheep, and he would be there, and he knew he could get a good price. Not only could he get a good price, but he could add another 15%. Because, after all, what are the people going to do? Not going to carry a sheep for 100 miles or 200 miles to offer for an offering because it'll break a leg or get hurt or something. And they wanted unblemished. They wanted the best. And so here are these money changers and people were that were selling offerings in the courtyard so people could have an offering to give. And they were, and the money exchangers, you know, here comes Nate, and he's got American money, but they said, no, we need some Jewish money here. And Nate said, well, all I've got is $50 of American money. And they said, okay, well, that gets you about $10 worth of Jewish money. So there was a difference in exchange rate, and they would add on. Remember Zacchaeus when he was up in the tree, the tax collector? And people said, how can Jesus associate with him? And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, get down from that tree. I must go home with you. Wow. And Zacchaeus, what did he do? He gave back everybody that he had overtaxed and overpaid. That had overpaid him. Twice as much. Because the Lord Jesus had touched his heart. So Jesus cleanses the temple. Believers are not to speak unwholesome words. Ephesians 4, 29 and 30. And he told those who sold the pigeons, oops, excuse me, we've taken care of the pigeons now, and the soccer, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as befits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You were sealed for the day of redemption. The fact that the Holy Spirit may be grieved points to his personality. If the Holy Spirit can be grieved, points to his personality. One God, three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can be grieved by unwholesome words, words that come out of your mouth. Things like you say, you're the meanest mother in the world. I can't believe you won't let me do this. It was New Year's Eve and Gabriel wanted to go out. He had been to Michigan on a snowboarding trip and he had dislocated his shoulder and he thought he could drive a stick shift car with one hand and said, you can't stop me, I'm going to go. So I took our other car and parked it behind him so he couldn't get out. The only way he could get out would be drive through the garage door and out the other end and into the neighbor's house because there's no place to go. And he came in and he asked my wife, why is Dad so stupid? How come he's doing that, you know? But remember the Lord's word, anger, but sin not. Don't let the sun go down in your anger. So I said, Gabe, you're not driving, but I'll drive you anywhere you want to go. And so I did. And told him if he wanted to go someplace else, call and I would come back and pick him up. I did. But still in his eyes, I was dumb and stupid. But now that he's older, I'm one of the smartest guys around. I don't know how that happens, but I get smarter day by day, you know. And his wife thinks I'm smart too. If she's having problems with her kids, she'll call me on the phone and put them on FaceTime and say, you're talking to Grandpa, and tell Grandpa what you did. So this Holy Spirit being grieved shows you our personality. His seal of a believer remains until the day of redemption. Look at Philippians 3, 20, and 21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Our bodies will be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to even to subject all things to himself. It awaits a Savior. Our Savior has come, the Lord Jesus Christ. Believers are to get rid of 5 vices. There's 5 vices to get rid of. Now, I don't usually make handouts and give them to you because they get wasted and thrown away, and I'm always saving a tree, so you'll have to listen and take it with you. They'll remember or call somebody up. But believers are to get rid of 5 vices of bitterness. Here are the 5 vices of bitterness. Rage, anger, brawling, slander, malice. Ephesians 4:31 tells us this. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So if there's somebody that you're holding a grudge against, and they're holding a grudge against you, and you can't forgive them, how do you expect God to forgive you of your sins if you can't forgive someone else of theirs? So try kindness, try compassion, try forgiveness. Don't strap a corpse to somebody's back. Don't strap the sins to your back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can offer up prayers to you and that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for our sins.